are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Eating and, you know, selling drugs and everything like that, I was able to sort of like manifest this out of like nothing, you know, like no one really handed me anything. Believe it or not, like once I like ended up like growing out of that like small weight set, I would actually sweep at like this gym that I'm that I used to go to before it closed down because of COVID. Yeah. But yeah, I used to ask them, if I could go and sweep at night or whatnot, just so I could work out. And, you know, like we ended up finding something. And I mean, like, I think that's one of the most humbling experiences that I had, because I mean, even though I didn't have money and, you know, like using that as a excuse, like most people would do, I found a way to try to work around it or whatnot. So
well, I tell you what's key. And, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm a little bit older. I have a few more experiences than you. And life is going to throw obstacles in your way. That's just the way it is, you know, it happens. And, you know, because I had some stuff happen to me too. And I always asked the question, I said, you know, am I going to let this define me or destroy me? And you're a perfect example of that. You did not let your surroundings destroy you. It's actually defining you as a person. And the other thing is that you also need the motivation to do that. And you've got the motivation and you're letting, you know, you're letting bodybuilding or weightlifting, as you're putting it, actually it's defining you as a person. I think it's a really good and lucky thing that you got into that, because essentially weight training is a discipline.
Absolutely.
And you were in a prime example in an environment where you could have really gone off the rails, man. You're really lucky.
Yeah, no, I definitely always try to tell myself the same thing. I mean, you know, like one small bad decision and, you know, like life could change up completely. So I am very thankful for every small thing happening the way it did. And, you know, like good and bad, just to be where I am today.
It, all this stuff comes with it. You know, it can't all Absolutely. Be good. It can't all be bad, mm-hmm. but it's a mixture. And then you figure out how to make it work for you. And you've done that. So kudos to you. And you're really lucky that you had a parent that was behind you, supporting you.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
If they didn't, yeah. if one of them didn't, again, you know, one little thing that you're talking about.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Could have gone haywire. So when did you actually start weightlifting?
I started weightlifting, I believe I was around, I think I was like 11.
Yeah.
Like around there. I mean, like that's when I started getting into things. And I mean, like, I think around that time, it might've been maybe like 2000, the year 2000. And yeah, you know, like technology was like beginning to be there, but I mean, like there was nothing really to go based off of. So I would honestly like just look at the magazines, like sort of see what they're doing, and then like try to like do it myself, because there was really no like teacher there, you know, like just yeah, there was nothing really to go based off of at that time.
Did you use like YouTube or any of those channels or?
No. Yeah. It was so I seen like someone like bench pressing. And everything, obviously, I think there was like someone like doing curls as well. So, I mean, like I started off doing that just like every single day. I mean, yeah. I didn't know what the hell I was doing around that time. I just loved doing it. So, I mean, So, I mean, like it like definitely started with that. Then when I was able to finally start getting my own money and raise money, then I would end up buying the magazines, you know, like try to like figure out like all these different workouts and applying them or whatnot. Sure.
That's funny because that's how I learned. That's how I got into it, because I knew nothing about I've been an athlete since I was 8 years old, but wow. Believe it or not, when I was coming up and playing the sport that I was in and the position I was playing in, it wasn't, they didn't want us in the gym because they thought it was going to make you slow and non-flexible and all that kind of stuff, you know? So I had learned it just like you did. I learned it through magazines and just reading and getting as much information, because, you know, doing what you were doing and not having somebody guide you, you could have easily gotten hurt because
absolutely.
You really don't know what you're doing. So sure, did somebody come into your life at some point when you actually got into the gym? Did somebody guide you at that point?
Oh yeah. Believe it or not. There was this like huge, like sort of like motivator in my life, which was actually, Jerome Johnson. What was his name actually? And I mean, like he was just like, just this like random guy that, you know, like would try to like invest in kids, you know, like showing them the right way or whatnot. Yeah. So, I mean, like, well, I was able to link up with him, you know, like he's seen the like potential in me. I mean, like because of him, I mean, he honestly like built the mentality that I had, you know, like being like super strict, being very, very like on top of myself, like being very critical, you know, like more of that military mindset, which a lot of people try to steer away from. But yeah, I mean, like he would always try to like hold me accountable. I would end up meeting him at the gym like after some time. And I mean, like we would like start building the process of working out like from like that period that I didn't really know anything to like where I am now or whatnot. So I mean, like I definitely owe well as much as I can for like someone like that that ends up like doing something from the kindness of their heart to try to build up the community in some way, shape, or form for sure.
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you Big Beyond Belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
You know, the thing about it is, and I've had plenty, you have certain people that come in and out of your life that become mentors, and you'll never forget that guy.
Yeah,
what he did—he took you under his wing. He saw something in you. I mean, I'm sure he's—you know—he saw someone who was interested and had the energy, and he saw something to begin with. Aside from the fact that he maybe he's that type of person that just likes to help young kids, but he saw something. So then you started at 11 years of age. So I assume that, did you do any weight training like when you went to high school? Did you play sports?
Oh, yeah. So me coming from a Puerto Rican family, like boxing is like instilled in us. I mean, like if we want to or not, I mean, like you're forced in there. So I mean, like, yeah, I mean, being a like athlete, like right off the gate was like need be. I mean, like my dad used to wake us up, like even if we didn't want to go running or do whatever. I mean, like he would send us on our way, you know, no matter if it was early in the morning or nighttime. I mean, so starting with boxing, I mean, but then, you know, like, then like once I got to high school, I ended up doing the football thing, you know, tried some wrestling or whatnot. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, like being a like athlete's always been in the blood.
Well, and the thing about that is, you know, athletics is like life. It builds a lot of tools for you to use.
Absolutely.
You know, and so the bodybuilding and the things that you're doing now is just an extension of that. So, okay, so you go through high school and you're experimenting with sports and all that kind of stuff. Did you go to college?
Oh, yeah. I was actually taking like a small break because I wasn't really too sure what I wanted to do, because obviously, like when someone's in high school, someone really doesn't have money, then I mean, like you're over here trying to do things that could make you money, you know, like something totally out of your gate. Like, oh, I should be a doctor or a lawyer, like, you know, like just not really really thinking about it, thinking about like what you really want to do. So I definitely took like maybe like 2 years, try to like sort of find myself. I try to do the whole personal training thing. I think just because of like how passionate of a person I was, I would end up like investing too much time in it. So when someone would end up like flopping out, I would take it personally. Yeah. So I'm like, maybe this personal training thing isn't for me, you know? Yeah. So I definitely tried different avenues. And then somehow, I mean, like through bodybuilding, I mean, nutrition was extremely important. I would honestly like learn about nutrition every single day, just like reading online, reading new articles, reading new science, you know, just everything as much as I can. Yeah. So somehow that actually linked up to culinary. So I ended up going to school for culinary. I got my degree in culinary and everything like that. I'm actually a executive chef now, you know, personal chef as well. I mean, like I've like gone to these big homes, you know, cooked meals for these people, like, you know, like sort of throwing my bodybuilding life into like my career as well. So, I mean, I totally love it, you know, absolutely. Yeah.
What's really important about that is that you love it. You know, that's the most important thing. And I have to tell you something about your personal training experience, because I've been in it for 40 years, And sure. Yeah, it's hard not to take it personal when you throw yourself into it 100%.
Absolutely.
And people don't. Here's the thing. I was just talking to my assistant this morning because she works at the studio that I still have, personal training studio. And I said, what amazes me to this day about human nature is how they start self-sabotaging.
Oh, absolutely.
Their own progress. It's amazing, isn't it?
It's crazy. It's crazy.
And it's easy. I get pissed off all the time still because of that. And I've been doing it for 30, you know, for this many years. And I don't get this. You know, it's like you come to me and you want to get in shape and I provide you with everything that you need and you're seeing results.
I get it.
Then you start slacking off. I think people are not only are they afraid of the success, I think they're just afraid of what you have to do in order to be successful continuously.
Absolutely.
That's what most people just, the average person doesn't really understand about an athlete, for example. You know, they don't understand how hard it is to create a physique like you've created. It just doesn't happen. So they end up liking the idea of it more than the actuality of actually going through it. Even though
absolutely,
people are always looking for an obstacle or an excuse as to why they can't do it. And that's, I've also learned that lesson. And I said, I figured out, and it makes it better as far as retention rate, is I've created a scenario with nutrition as well as training for the clients to come see us. I try to make it as user-friendly as possible and still them get results. That helps. But if you're dealing with the average person and you have the mentality of a bodybuilder,
yeah,
you're going to lose those people.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my God. That would happen to me day and night. I mean, like it would honestly be the same thing. I mean, like someone would have this awesome progress, you know, like going from 200 and like say 30 pounds, you know, like losing the weight. They're at like 190, 180, you know, like everything's going fantastic. And then from there, you know, like they may end up getting like a girlfriend or something like that. And then like the motivation goes out the door. Boom. And then from literally like 1 month to the next, it's like total night and day difference. You're like, oh my goodness, what the heck is happening? And then you take it personal.
Right.
You're investing so much time. You're so passionate about it. You're like, right. Oh my God, it's crazy.
And I guess the hard thing, you know, I guess what I'm trying to tell you is that you really can't take it personal because you're doing your job. You know, it's them that's not following through.
Sure.
And that's the reason why what I've done, in case you ever decide to get back into personal training, one of the things that I do up front is I make sure that people understand exactly what I expect from them. And I say, okay, if I make them start answering questions, if I tell you that I can create a program that's user-friendly and lifestyle, because usually the hardest thing in a program like that is the diet for most people.
Absolutely.
And so I say, look, if I can create something for you that's user-friendly, that's lifestyle-friendly, that your family can eat, that you're going to eat, you know, that you can eat virtually anything. If you can actually create a diet for most people that's pretty friendly. You don't have to cut things out of the diet necessarily.
Sure. Yeah.
If you're a competitive athlete, that's a little different story. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you stay on it? I like to hear them answer me.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be surprised. Even with them saying, I'm going to eat those foods anyway. So it's hard not to take that personally, just because of what the effort that you're putting in. It is frustrating.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a frustrating thing. But you know something? With every business comes a downside, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure even being a personal chef, there's things in the industry that's just, it's not all roses.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
It's
absolutely
not going to be there. Let me ask you this. When it comes to nutrition, you sound to me like you're that guy that's a student of the game. You want to learn everything that you possibly can about what you're doing. So when you got into the culinary, why don't you walk me down that path, if you will, a little bit. What do you learn in culinary school?
So through culinary school, like you learn the, how do I say this? Like you learn the like basics of like French cooking, because like French cooking supposedly is the start of like all different cuisine. I mean, you learn the history of it. You learn like exactly like what to do. You learn like basic like flavor, like and how to actually build it up. And you end up getting like first hands-on experience and everything like that. And you get like recipes, but sort of like now, like because of technology being how it is, I mean, like most of that stuff ends up getting thrown out the door, because like back in the day, like you would need to like, say like work at a, like say say, Jamaican restaurant to actually learn those recipes, and you can end up putting them in your arsenal. But now, I mean, like, all I could do is just look it up on my phone, and boom, I'm the total expert of Jamaican cuisine.
Right.
So I mean, it sort of defeats the purpose, unfortunately.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Now, one of the things I always prided myself on with training was I did everything to myself before I would do it to the client. I didn't want them to do something that I had never done. Mm-hmm. I wanted to learn this firsthand because I'm sure that you'll agree with this, even in your young career, that firsthand experience is the best. It's, you can't replace that when you know you've done it yourself.
Yeah,
you can totally relate to that person that you're dealing with. So when you're doing your culinary, do you spend a lot of time perfecting your meals so you understand it to the nth degree and you can produce? Because when you become a master, I don't know if you're a master, I would say somebody like me who's been in the industry as long as I have, you get master status, because especially when you learn everything that needs to be learned, and I'm still learning.
Definitely.
So do you try your own meals before you go into a place for other people? Do you try it yourself and produce a result? Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I try to definitely look at the actual nutrition behind it, like counting macros. Depending on the actual client that I may have. I would definitely try maybe cooking the same meal maybe around maybe 5-6 times, sort of like changing things around, try to develop the flavor. Sometimes I may end up cooking like for like friends or family, more as trials.
Yeah.
I may end up doing it just so I could take like photos of it, you know, like try to like develop the flavor. Right. Sometimes with like artificial sweeteners or say like certain thickeners, you know, like it may end up changing up the gummy texture. The flavor may be totally off.
Yeah. Just
because I mean, like it there's a lot of artificial flavors now or whatnot. So, yeah. I mean, I may end up doing something maybe around maybe 12 to 15 times, like trying to get everything precise and everything like that. And then I from there I can end up, you know, like writing it down just so I don't forget. But I mean, it like definitely takes time just so for us to try to like, you know, figure out the exact recipe and, you know, make sure that we can duplicate it.
Yeah. Do you have a certain demographic or a certain, like, you know, personal training, what I did initially mm-hmm. to get my business off the ground was try to appeal to a larger base of people. In other words, instead of going after the bodybuilder, I went after the general fitness market. Now, do you have a certain demographic that you cook for, that you prefer?
I try to definitely aim for more fitness savvy people, just because I mean, like when it comes to like regular food and everything like that, I mean, like most people tend not to they don't really like prioritize like nutrition in a way, you know, like when they think about food, you know, they could go say to Chipotle and grab some type of food or whatnot, or say McDonald's. But I mean, like, I definitely try to aim more for like a fitness savvy person, someone that's like actually trying to eat healthy or whatnot. But like still trying to enjoy like awesome, delicious food or whatnot as well.
So how do you market your services? Is it word of mouth? How do you get it out there?
It ends up being more of like word of mouth. Like right now I just do like private parties. Sometimes I may end up going to like a client's home and like going out and like working for them or whatnot, because that's more of a like side thing. Because I actually switched from like working from a resort to actually switching over and then working at a nursing home now. So that's my full time. I end up working like 13 hour shifts. So I mean, like, you know, like working out two times a day, sometimes ends up being a little hard, but I mean, I it doesn't matter if it's midnight by the time I get to my second workout. I mean, one way or another, you got to get it done.
Again, motivation has to be greater than the obstacle.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's plenty of obstacles. That's interesting that you cook for, you said a nursing home, right?
Yeah. Nursing home now.
So how aware do you have to be as far as, I mean, I'm assuming that the people that my dad was in a nursing home, I assume that there's some restrictions that you have to cook for.
Sure.
And is that something that you also learn in culinary school?
You sort of learn that in culinary school, but sort of in a way, it like sort of ends up being ancient as well. Because I mean, like back in the day, I mean, like, you know, when you're talking about, say, a like diabetic, I mean, like they don't know the actual science behind it. So I mean, like they talk about not having sugar, but I mean, nowadays there's like ways of like alternatives you could end up using. Yeah. You could end up making, say like desserts, like using some type of like different sweetener or yeah. whatnot. Just like different ingredients all together. So I mean, they end up sort of preparing you that way. But also, I mean, like, just like nutrition, like it's like ever changing. So yeah. I mean, like you just need to just be on top of it, making sure that you're studying and continue to keep learning.
You definitely do, because there's no faster way than to become unrelatable or not relative.
Absolutely.
When you stop learning, you got to keep learning and keeping up with things, you know.
Sure.
I can attest to that, because I've had to, you know, I keep asking myself, my question is, am I still relative? I mean, I started when I was 27 years old, and wow. Train clients, you know, when you're older, and you definitely have to keep up with the time, so to speak. True. You know, now where you work at the nursing home, are you like the chef that makes sure, or do other chefs work underneath you, or are you working underneath the chef?
No, yeah. Well, there's other cooks that end up working under me or whatnot, you know, uh-huh. and then I end up making menu. I end up like creating everything. Yeah. So
you're the big guy on the block then.
Yeah. Luckily.
When it comes to your training, when did you then take that next step to where you decided that you wanted to compete?
So I ended up taking that next step probably maybe after working out for like 10 years, to be honest. I mean, yeah. I've been working out all my life, but at like 21, my like brother actually does bodybuilding as well. You know, like we would always be weightlifting together and everything, like, like after some time. So my biggest thing about bodybuilding was like wearing the posing trunks. Yeah. I mean, like you would literally be like so like uncomfortable on stage, you know, like you would be living that nightmare of like being on stage in your underwear. Yeah. So I mean, like, yeah, that was like the most awkwardest thing for me and everything. So I mean, like, that's why I would end up sort of like pushing the like brakes on it. But I mean, like my like brother's encouragement, I mean, like he knew that I wanted to do bodybuilding all my life, you know, like that I would honestly always buy the magazines. I would always be like hanging up these like posters and everything like that. I'm like, man, you know, I totally want to be like that. So I mean, like he ended up giving me the push, at 21 years old. There was like a local competition here, and I ended up going at it like sort of like really fat headed. I'm like, yeah, I'm about to win. I'm about to win. I'm about to win. Yeah. I'm about to win. And then, so when I go compete and then I end up getting like third place, I was devastated. I'm like, you know, yeah. Oh my God, you know, like they were totally cheating. They were doing this, they were doing that. And then, my like girlfriend, she like stopped like everything that I was saying, and she's like, you know what, like everyone here is living the same lifestyle that you're doing, probably even more. I mean, like, it's not that you ended up losing, it's that there could only be one winner. Yeah. And then from there I was completely hooked. I'm like, you know what, that's totally true, you know.
Yeah, one of the things I saw when I was competing, which I never understood, was guys would come back, you know, off stage, and they all, you know, unless they took first, they all thought they got screwed, and they were throwing their trophies. And I'm thinking, what, you know, this is not the way it should be. Sure. You know, it's a subjective, as you know, it's a subjective type of sport, and it's not like a black and white. It's not like running a race and the first person that gets across the line is a clear winner. Usually, absolutely. You know, it's based on what judges are thinking and what they're looking for. As you know, you have to take that into consideration. I think that's what your girlfriend was actually bringing out. It's like,
absolutely.
And the way to look at that, and there's nobody that's more competitive than I, but I also knew that what I really had to focus on was just coming in to each show the best I possibly could, and to keep making progress from one show to the other. Mm-hmm. Because you can't control what judges necessarily are looking for. You know, at some point, I don't know if you've been around long enough, like with me, when I was competing in a show, I already knew more or less, because there's a certain circuit that a lot of these judges go on. So I knew kind of what they were looking for. Some judges don't want the massive, they want the more cut, you know?
Yeah.
And so you train for that, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger once said, you got to learn how to play the game.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it's the bodybuilding game or whatever game that you're in. You got to learn how to play it, because there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of people trying to scam the system. You know, if you're a natural, there's people up there trying to compete on drugs. I saw it when I was competing. And it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. So I think you got some really good advice from your girlfriend at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Okay. So now the category that you were in, was it bodybuilding? It wasn't like
bodybuilding
or something. It was pure bodybuilding.
Yeah, bodybuilding. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
Are you still in that category?
I'm in classic physique now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, they focus more on the posing, you know, like just like symmetry altogether.
Yeah.
Overall.
So, I was really, when I came back the second time, when I first started competing, we had to have a choreographed routine. Mm-hmm. And that was just part of our, you know, it was a minute and a half we had, but it had to be choreographed. Absolutely. And so I did that for 6 or 7 years. And then I took a break. When I came back to the sport again, it changed. Everything had changed. Yeah. It used to be just where it was bodybuilding and it was mixed couples competing with, posing together. When I came back 13 years later, it was like, holy shit, they had all these categories, this, figure this, and so many different categories. Right. So why did you said that you changed categories because of there's more symmetry in the posing in the class?
Because like through bodybuilding, I mean, I know like sort of in a way, it like sort of like brung this like over dieted look in a way, uh-huh. You know, like completely shredded. I mean, like, beauty with like classic physique is that, you know, like we don't have to come like over dieted. I mean, like for me, it like makes me think of the like old school bodybuilders in those magazines, you know, like not like completely shredded, you know, that I can see like striated glutes type of thing. Right. But right. I mean, like, you know, like the like actual like art that like is bodybuilding, you know, that like I fell in love with at least.
Yeah.
So when this category like came along, I totally hopped on the train. I was like, man, this is awesome. Because unlike bodybuilding now, like that you could opt out of those like routines, like through classic, like that's like judged. So you need to choreograph your routine just like you were stating and everything like that. And that is like absolutely beautiful to me. I mean, posing is definitely an art form, and that's like one of the number one things that I ended up falling in love with, you know? So, I mean, that's why I ended up hopping on that train. I mean, thankfully, I've won 5 shows since then. So, I mean,
I don't know about you. Tell me about I like asking competitors the first time they competed, because I remember how horrifying it was and how terrified it was, because I was that guy that you made me laugh a little bit, because thinking about getting up in front of people in your posing trunks.
Sure.
I used to drop classes in school if there was any kind of oral presentation.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I was going to be competing in a show in a bikini, you know, and I don't know about you, but you know, that first show, I remember I dieted, I posed like I was posing every day for at least a month and a half out.
Sure.
And I don't even remember the first time when I went out there on stage, it was so fast.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I didn't even remember doing it in a way, you know, I had enough reps underneath me that I was able to get through it. But how was that experience for you the very first time? Here's somebody who couldn't even think about getting up on stage because you're worried about being up in your underwear. How did that first show go for you?
The like first show was like sort of like extremely awkward at first. Just because I mean, you're like walking around with like big sweaters on and everything like that, just because you're tanned up. But then like the like moment that you end up taking that off, and then like people are like coming up to you trying to take photos with you, and like you're literally like in underwear, and you're like, holy cow, this is like super awkward. I'm like, I don't know if I could. Just like super awkward, just all together and everything like that. And then like the moment you step on stage, like you're still feeling awkward, but I mean, maybe like 2-3 minutes in, then, you know, like then you end up like sort of like getting in the zone that you normally would, like when you're working out, you know, So, I mean, but I tell you what, I mean, like the like first competition experience will never like leave my mind.
Oh, it's traumatic.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's like traumatic. No, definitely. Yeah. And I remember that, but I tell you what, as I went along, you know, it's, you can probably relate to this in athletics. What happens in a sport, when you first get into a sport, everything is very fast because you're not used to it. The longer you're in the sport, then the game starts slowing down. And I noticed that with me, I enjoyed bodybuilding and the competition much better when it started slowing down, because now I could go on stage and I could play to the crowd.
Yeah, because
I don't know, you know, so many many athletes that are doing a posing routine make the mistake of moving too fast in their routine, sure. and they take away the pleasure from the person that's watching you.
Definitely.
And that was one of the things I got that was really good experience information from the guy that owned the gym that I was working out at for my first show. He said, look, don't learn too many poses. Learn 4 or 5 poses instead of learning a whole bunch of them in your routine because you're just starting out. And he says, slow down. If you think you're going slow, slow down even more. And that was really good advice because when I look back then at the first show or the first shows that I did compared to my later shows, my posing routine was way better. I was having way more fun. And I could actually enjoy it. I could remember what I was doing up there because at first I was like, I just want to get through this and get the hell off the stage.
Yeah. Right? No, honestly, that would honestly be the whole mindset of say like the first like 4 or 5 competitions that I did. I would totally be out of my comfort zone. You know, like this is the same thing, you know, like you would honestly like be practicing, you know, like hitting the poses awesomely, but like just by you being up there, I mean, like it would definitely like sort of like rush you in a way. You would try to absolutely.
Yeah, and I tell you what, I'll never forget some of this stuff. And you know, and the thing that's interesting about the sport of bodybuilding is that you can prep. I don't know how long you take before a show, but I would always take about 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's the type of event or it's a type of sport that is really unforgiving because you can put your 12 weeks in and you can ruin everything in that last week if you mess up on your preparation. Sure. And to think that you did all this work and then it all went to hell in the handbasket in one week.
Absolutely.
Did you have that situation where you just mistimed?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, speaking about the first competition. So, I mean, like I would honestly like be like reading things about peak week. So I'm like, okay, well, let me try that out. So I actually was eating like chicken and rice like the like whole entire time in peak week. Yeah. And keep in mind that I was having no fiber whatsoever. I would never drink coffee. So, I mean, by the time I went on stage, I was super bloated, you know, like not really plugged able to use the bathroom at all. Yeah, plugged up. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So, I mean, that was a total shit show. I'm like, oh, my God. So, I mean, obviously, like you end up learning things all throughout, but yeah, for sure.
and you know something, and my experience, and this is a lot of the guys, it was hard to really peak at the right time. Most of the time we came in, I only hit one show where I thought I really nailed it, you know? You're just, you know, even Dorian Yates, the best, but they come in, even when they're off a little bit, they're good enough to win it, but they're not at their best.
Absolutely.
And the guys that have been around long enough know exactly why, because that window is so tricky.
Yeah.
Your body is so finely tuned that you can do just one little thing and your body responds just like that when you're that close, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's the thing that's so frustrating. You have to take your body and make sure that you peak within a window. You have this prejudging that you're doing, and of course that's where all the show is actually one is in the prejudging, but you have like a window of maybe 3 hours that you have to keep your body ready. And man, that's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah, it's rough.
That sport itself will make you crazy.
Yeah. I mean, like there is plenty of like hanger moments. You know, like you're always hungry. You know, like something comes your own way. You're like, oh my God. So I mean, definitely. Thank you to my fiance for dealing with all the hanger after so many years. But I mean. Yeah, it's definitely crazy.
I had, when I first was dieting, because, you know, I didn't know what that was all about, dieting to that extent.
Yeah.
So pissed off all the time. I used to take walks. I just leave the house.
Yeah.
I was married at the time, you know, it's like, God, I can't be around anybody.
Sure.
And because of those moments that you're talking about, you're like a fuse.
Yeah.
You definitely have to have the right, there's a certain person that you have to, like your fiance, there's a certain person that needs to be with a bodybuilder. And I just can't imagine when both people are actually doing.
Oh my God. Yeah. That would be.
Someone would die.
Only conflict. Yeah. Only conflict.
Yeah. Someone would die. I even had a shirt that said, I wore it as a joke, but it was kind of true. It said, shut up. I'm dieting. Don't talk to me or something like that. It was
Shirt.
Yeah. Don't talk to me. Cause I'm a mess right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a crazy sport. So where do you go from here? What's your next sort of challenge, or where do you want to take this now?
Let's take a quick pause to tell you about something you're definitely going to want.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
Yeah, so I mean, now I'm actually like dieting still. I'm trying to go for the Olympia, and I've been trying to find a like show like sort of in between that. But I mean, like the like actual numbers are taking a toll. I mean, like there may be one other competitor, there may be none, you know. So I mean, like I'm like trying to do it more for like competition. I'm not really trying to do it just for you know, like just getting up there or whatnot.
Yeah.
So I am definitely dieting leading into the Natural Olympia, which should be November, I believe it's like November 14th.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I'm like dieting towards that. I've been working out with the Serious Growth Program.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. So, I mean, like, I've been doing it, like, since March and everything. And, I mean, like, I've been hitting numbers. I think I weigh maybe like 168 pounds and I'm still squatting 400 pounds. I'm still benching 300 something. Yeah. So I mean, the Serious Growth Program, I mean, big ups to you. I mean, it's definitely helped out so much as well. So, I mean, I am definitely just trying to aim for that Natural Olympia and just trying to work out and get everything done. So
where do you see yourself in? This is a crazy question because it's hard to imagine where you're going to be in 5 years. Where do you see yourself, or where do you want to see yourself in 5 years as far as your career, you know, just you personally in your life?
Well, 5 years from now, I would definitely try to have children, hopefully, maybe like finally like buy the house, which we're in the process of doing right now. Hopefully like having my like entrepreneur, like real estate business, like growing even more. Just like trying to be like happy, like along the way. I think people end up looking too much for like, say like actual things, like physical things and not really think about the emotional side. But I mean, like, as far as I'm happy, I grew up with nothing. I could have nothing by the end of my life and I would still be happy as long as I'm joyful along the way, as long as I'm able to continue to create experiences and everything like that. I mean, I would definitely be happy with it.
You know, I told my kids, because I've lived my life this way, I told my kids when they were in college, when they were going to be graduating, I said, look, because I was born and raised on a dairy. I'm Portuguese.
Oh, no.
And in our culture, maybe, you know, how things are culturally sometimes. There's a certain pecking order and certain things that you're supposed to follow.
Sure.
We had a dairy business, and it was really very usual for the dairy business to be left down to the next generation. And it was one of those things that was not in my blood, and I didn't want to do that, you know, and I knew that. And so I got into personal training. I got into the sport of bodybuilding, and because I was an athlete, I always wanted to be a pro athlete. That didn't work out. This was that next thing that created that buzz for me. And after that, I said to myself, I never want to do anything in my life that doesn't have passion and doesn't have that buzz. Because I tell you what, Richie, and you're saying it right now, if you have that in your life, you're full. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be looking for anything. Absolutely. I'm full in my life because I keep doing the shit that makes me happy, that gives me passion and buzz. What more is there?
Absolutely.
If you can keep that in there, you know, and it doesn't really matter. Look, when I was doing personal training, you have to understand in 82, when I started, no one in my town was doing personal training. No one. I was the only personal trainer within at least 40, 50, maybe 60 miles.
Wow.
And LA, they had some at that point, but it wasn't as prevalent as it is now. I mean, you got trainers in every corner, online, they're everywhere. It wasn't like that. So for me to go out and start that business, it was like everything was against me because no one was doing that. Mm-hmm. But it didn't matter because I have passion for it. Absolutely. You know, and when you have passion for something, you figure out how to overcome obstacles. And I'm sure that you're a success story. You're proven that already. And so, you know, an old man has given you some advice. Just keep that in mind. Do what you love to do and try to live life as much as you can on your terms, and you're going to be full. Your life is going to look a lot different than when you're – because all you have to do is look around you. You look around, you see people that are just walking through life dead. You know, they're just – life is living them. They're just – and it's sad – especially when you are doing something that you actually love. I feel your energy. Absolutely. That's why I'm talking to you like this, because I have that energy. And that would be my thing. And I told my kids, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it is to most people. Because I used to get, why don't you get a real job? I heard that so many damn times.
Sure.
And this little job that's a fake job in 82 has given me a life that has been amazing. I've traveled the world. I've competed. I've met lots of people. You know,
beautiful.
It doesn't get better than that. I don't have to go look for something to make me happy because I'm happy. And, and look, life is going to not always be rosy, but overall, you know, you got to put up with the other side of that. It can't always be good, but if it's mostly good, that's how you get through things is when you, it changes the perspective when you have passion for that. And you're going to go a long ways, man. I can feel you. I feel your energy. And I hope that you I hope and I know you'll accomplish that. So I want to thank you for coming on the show. It's been my pleasure to have you on. Is there anything that you'd like to promote on the show? If you're promoting anything, now's a good time to do that.
I mean, I'm not like as much promoting. I am looking for sponsors, so
that's good.
If anybody wants to sponsor, I mean, the Natural Olympia, I mean, hey, it's definitely there, but more of just like thank yous. I mean, like, thank you for everybody that's been, you know, like inspiring all throughout. Thank you for you for making the Serious Growth program. I mean, like, that's carried me on through this pandemic for sure.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you to my beautiful fiance for always standing behind me 7 years competing.
Yeah.
I know that I could be definitely a like hard ass just dealing with, but I mean, thank you guys. And definitely to my brother, you know, always motivating and, you know, like pushing me through for sure.
Where can we, for the people that want to maybe help sponsorship, where can they, are you on Instagram, I assume?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram. My Instagram is Chef Big Rich. So I mean, yeah, I mean, shoot me a DM, talk to me. I mean, I definitely try to respond right away. So I mean,
yeah,
definitely.
Sounds good. Hey, before you go, I want you to give me a double bicep.
Yeah.
Holy shit. You look good, man.
It's getting there.
You look good. Keep it up.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on. I'll talk to you again someday, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.